This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Cray revamps Mini Supers.
And a peek at AMD's roadmap.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for February 3rd, 2012, available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael. You have a good week?
It's a good week. Good news. How about your neck of the woods?
Yeah, I'm just back from the Phoenix area in Tempe. I was at the Digital Manufacturing Strategic Interest Group this week, which is coordinated by John Riley of NCMS, who's on our 2012 HPC Wire People to Watch list. So that was fun to see that group and how they're coordinating moving forward with digital manufacturing. But back in my seat now and looking at the news from the week.
Yeah, we got some interesting news in various spots around the country. I guess you saw the Cray news. They sort of rejiggered some of their lower-end supercomputers.
I did. I read that news release when it came out. I wasn't able to talk to Cray about it, so why don't you give us the news?
Well, essentially, they came up with small node count configurations of their big flagship supercomputers. The XE6s and the XK6s, the GPU version of the XE6. They had, I think you'll remember, what they called their mid-range, their M versions, the XE6M and the XK6M, but they basically started at around 500,000. Those were fairly large machines. I mean, I'm not sure what the node count was exactly, but it was up there. They were cut down elite supers, but at 500,000 a shot, it's not like everybody could buy those. So what they did is came up with other configurations that started at like 48 sockets. So
down into the mid-range.
Right. Basically, these configurations, they're 48-socket machines that start at 200,000, which brings a lot more people into the mix as far as who can afford one of those things. It's basically less than half the price of their M systems, and their smaller systems. So the 48 sockets gives you about 6.5 teraflops. It's not like you can fit it by your desk size, but it's a fairly small system for a department or a small firm.
Right. So these aren't all the way down into the entry level of HPC, but certainly in the mid-range. Now, this is replacing where they were with the CX1000, right? They've discontinued the CX lines.
Right, the CX lines, the CX1000, the CX1, they've dumped those. They had those for a couple of years. The CX1000 was basically their mini. It was like 16 up to 32 sockets, 16 blades, and I think it started at maybe 100,000 or a little bit more, and went up to 700,000. So this basically fits in there. Their CX1 was their desk side system, a smaller blade
that
count.
That was really their entry level.
Yeah, there's no replacement for that. There's no, as far as I know, the Cray is not coming up with a desk side XE6 or XK6 at this point. It might be interesting to do that, but they're not attempting that at this point. But those
it seems like this is the end of a transition for Cray. I mean, they introduced that CX1, CX1000, those systems, that the idea that they were going to be a volume business beyond their traditional customer base, which really did not take off to the extent that they had hoped, and then they reorganized that about a year ago, kind of right-sized the cost structure to go with the revenue of those platforms now by going to a mid-range that's a lower-end extension of their high-end computers. They go back to being all Cray-engineered products, right, because those CX products were OEM from other places. So this is kind of the end of that transition, which I think actually makes more sense for Cray.
Right, it does. And like you said, it's all Cray technology now. Plus, I mean, the nice thing, there's a couple nice things about it. For one thing, it gets people who buy those systems the ability to run software that can scale up to larger systems, whether they have those systems in-house or not. They could have this smaller 200K node computer and they could run it on, if they had access to a Blue Waters or a Titan system, a $200 million system, and it should basically run unchanged. The other nice sort of enabling technology here was their CCM, their cluster compatibility mode, which sort of enabled this to happen. Now they, before when they started the CX1 line, they didn't have that in their Linux bundle, but now you can basically take any commercial HPC software that runs on Linux and run it on their supercomputing line, their Gemini interconnect line.
Yep.
And so now the $200,000 system will do the same thing, so it sort of replaces the idea of having a commercial sort of lower cost system like that.
Well, I think this is going to be the primary appeal of these systems, right? They are lower end systems for people who want to have a commonality with the architecture of the higher end systems. I still don't see Cray driving a huge thriving mid-range business that's independent from their supercomputing business because their sales channel isn't oriented for it. However, within their traditional customer base, I think there is a strong demand for systems that aren't the world's largest supercomputers but still act like them. And that's going to be the appeal of these mid-range extensions.
Right, I think that's right. I think they're not really built to do volume business, but it is a nice companion to their larger systems. Maybe they'll drive some incremental volume on firms they couldn't reach before, but who can now afford, you know, a mini Blue Water or a mini Titan machine. But that remains to be seen.
Yep, remains to be seen, but it'll be fun to watch. And related to that, of course, because Cray is going to be all AMD now, right? No more Intel-based systems at Cray.
Right, until Cascade comes online, it's going to be all AMD now, so it's all Opterons. Back to that, they were where they were a couple of years ago, at least for a short period of time.
So for our other story today, let's take a look at where AMD is going. AMD had a financial analyst day yesterday, and during the financial analyst day, they released not only the overview of their finances for their recently completed quarter and year, but also gave a sneak peek at their roadmap for all of their CPUs and APUs, their accelerator processor units.
Right, and the APUs looks like they're not going to be in our space, at least for the near term, what was revealed there. Their CPUs, of course, are. They gave us their Opteron roadmap with the names. Not too much technical detail underneath that, but basically all they could give the financial analysts for the next generation of Opterons.
But nevertheless, some interesting detail down in the notes. So for us, the most interest, of course, for HPC is the follow-on to the Interlagos CPU, which was only introduced just before supercomputing. And that'll be followed up by the codenamed Abu Dhabi CPU. So a couple of similarities with Interlagos. It's still 4, 8, 12, or 16 cores. The core itself has been upgraded. It goes from the Bulldozer core in Interlagos to the codename Piledriver core in Abu Dhabi. It's still DDR3 quad channel. They didn't say if there's any change to the hyper transport or not, so that's still open. But a couple of changes from maybe what we had expected.
Right. In fact, it's actually, except we don't know much about the Piledriver cores, like you said, there's got to be some architectural changes there. And it's on the same process technology, 32 meters, same number of cores.
Still 32 nanometer, right? Same number of cores.
It doesn't look like a big jump. But like you said, they gave a little bit of color in some of the nodes. It looks like they're not going to support PCI Gen 3 in this next version, which is a bit of a surprise. They're going to wait, I guess, until 2014, which seems... Or maybe later in 2013, which seems quite far out for that standard, which is already basically supported in the Sandy Bridge Xeons, or soon will be when they officially launch them. So they're not going to do that.
And the other note is that there's no 20-core option, which had also been anticipated. But the trade-off for that is that they're maintaining socket compatibility with the current Interlagos. So same socket, you'll still have 4, 8, 12, 16 Piledriver cores in Abu Dhabi. The positive news is that you get this chip fairly soon. They're talking about a release the second half of this year, so only 1 year from Interlagos to Abu Dhabi.
Right, and it does look like, that'll be pretty quick, but not a big change. I mean, they did say there's going to be some new ISA extensions and some improved inter-process communication, but other than that, it just looks like almost a point release of Interlagos.
Well, we don't know what kind of architectural changes there are from the bulldozer cores to the pile driver cores. We're still waiting on some of the details there. Also, I mentioned they didn't say anything about the hypertransport. So there could be an improvement to hypertransport, which would be extremely relevant considering the news we had last week that we were discussing with Intel acquiring QLogic.
Right. Now we both looked at sort of this server map or the roadmap slide deck, and nowhere in there, server or otherwise, did they really even mention the HPC space. And we noticed, like, totally missing from this is sort of any roadmap for the Firestream, their GPU stream computing offering. That's sort of just stuck in neutral now, and there's and no roadmap there.
Yeah, we had thought that was going to happen when AMD had some layoffs a few months ago. A lot of people who were associated with Firestream were on that list. So I think this is part of a strategic redirection in terms of what technologies and what platforms AMD is going to focus on. This is all couched, by the way, in what was announced as a strategic direction to focus on silicon on chip technologies going forward. This is all under Mark Papermaster, the CTO.
Right. So it looks like they're oriented all their GPU activity or a lot of it towards heterogeneous computing and their APUs, and they did talk about those as well, but not in the server space for the near term, 2012 and 2013. So that's still TBD. So in a sense, they sort of gave short shrift to HPC in this roadmap, but maybe we'll see more developments as it plays out.
Well, and it wasn't an HPC specific presentation,
right,
either. As we said, this is Financial Analyst Day, so it's not usual that we get roadmap details out of a Financial Analyst Day, but nevertheless, they did get announced along with that silicon on chip direction. So we wanted to come out and give those details to our listeners.
Yeah, and hopefully there will be more technical details on certainly upgraded Opterons that'll come out over the next 6 months that we'll be able to report on. But right now it just sort of looks like business as usual there for AMD as far as the server side.
Well, and they did also announce their financials, of course. It was Financial Analyst Day. They did have a Q4 loss, but nice to see that AMD was profitable for the year. So hopefully for them, they're on a turnaround path.
Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, nobody wants to see AMD fail. They want that alternative to Intel for sure. Every vendor out there wants them to succeed who has a dual x86 strategy. So good news on that front, yeah.
They've had a good start to the year. Their stock is up more than 40% in the last month. Now they're coming off of lows in around September, October, but they're still a little below where they were a year ago, but a fantastic January for AMD from a financial standpoint.
Yeah, and we'll see how they are able to sell in their bulldozer offerings into the space. They had a decent start at the very beginning, but they still have to go up against a very tough Intel competition there, especially as the new Sandy Bridges make their way into the system.
Not just Intel, but NVIDIA as well, as these architecture wars start to develop.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Well, good news this week, Michael. Always fun to talk to you.
All right, fun to talk to you. We'll do it all again next week.
All right, thanks, Michael.
All right.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.